Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
We'll start tonight with the Jets. We'll start tonight with the Mets. We'll start tonight
Syracuse. Are you going to go through the list of guys tendered contracts by the Mets? Is that really what you're going to try to foist upon this nationwide audience?
With the end of the Syracuse basketball season. We'll start tonight.
Hey, you're on lacrosse school. Relax.
Syracuse had that nice photo op a couple of games ago, right? Where Boeheim had his kids.
Yeah, Boeheim.
That was great, wasn't it?
Now we're 4-4.
Yeah, they are.
So we're not good.
Wildcats won, though.
Combined.
Beat the hell out of Boston College.
Yeah, the basketball and football teams have combined to win like 6 games this year, right?
Still more than you.
No, we won 5 in football, and we've won 4 in basketball.
Wow, you're actually counting?
I know how many games my team's won.
The coaches don't even know.
Not that many. But speaking of what coaches know and don't know, the latest college football playoff rankings are out, and with one game left, as we're getting into championship weekend here, this is where the playoff poll sits right now. Ohio State, number 1, 12-0 after their 86-3 dismantling of Michigan on Saturday.
Number two
is LSU, sitting at 12-0.
Number 3.
Clemson, also at 12-0, but according to Dabo Sweeney, everybody hates us, would love to see us lose, wants us out. That was the first I had ever heard anybody say they don't want Clemson in.
We'd like to see them play somebody that mattered.
Right,
I mean, that's part of the narrative.
If
Dabo wants to play that card and just say, talk about our schedule all you want, all we do is win, 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 and danced around like a fool, then that it doesn't matter. But saying everybody wants you out, it's like, no, I mean, because you've shown that you can play once the playoffs are here. Just being able to waltz through the regular season while everybody else is beating the hell out of each other kind of cheeses people off. And I think you've got to be man enough to look in the mirror and understand that.
Sure, I agree with you, in theory.
But
my whole thing is that I don't think there's anybody who doubts how good Clemson is, even if they hadn't played anybody. I mean, I don't think, even if they played this schedule, right, and they didn't play anybody. I agree with you there. But do you think this is a Clemson team that would have played better teams and would have lost a few games?
I don't know.
I don't see that.
But maybe you'd get at least, they had the one scare against North Carolina.
Yeah, but they didn't have the injury issues that Alabama had. They didn't have the change in quarterback that Alabama had. They didn't have the drama.
Because they don't play anybody.
They
play a bunch of bums.
This is just Dabo Sweeney deciding, well, I got to motivate my team somehow, so I'm going to make something up. Nobody wants us in. Show me one place where someone has said, I don't want Clemson in.
The bulletin board material created by your own coach.
Yeah, where is it? Hey, you know what they're saying about us online?
He hired a bunch of journalists to make up random newspapers across the country.
Don't even need to do that. All you need, and this is what I can't stand. I can't stand this. I was actually talking to
you. See this Wix account that's back?
I was talking to my wife about this today, and I said, you know what I can't stand is content that people use, whether it's in sports or in the news, whatever you do content stuff for a living, and your opinions and your shows about that, where here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a story and I'm going to find 4 idiots on Twitter who say something and then say, oh, look at the backlash. I mean, I can't stand. There's no backlash. It's just some idiot. It's 5 people that don't know what they're doing, and it's their first day typing on a keyboard. And that's what this Dabo Sweeney is. This is, where did this come from? I didn't see where they want us out. Where? Who? Show me one person that said Clemson should. I want Clemson out. Clemson should not be defending national champions. I think they should be out. 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 They won every game last year. They won every game this year. I want them gone. Show me where that is.
I don't know, but if we had,
show me where it is.
But if we had said it last night, someone else would have said it this morning.
Well,
so,
yes,
so you
yes.
know that that's the case.
Yes.
Along the way as well.
Yes. Well, we'll get to, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think I just want to talk about it tonight. I want to talk about
what happened.
The absolute thievery of the take we had last night on Jim Harbaugh that got repurposed today. And without saying where it was, I'm just going to say that, you know, people got up this morning and got to see it on TV. So, congratulations.
Wait, they got up?
My fellow alums need to just stop. Okay, where I went to school,
do
the math.
It was shot for shot what we lined up last night about Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. And then I see it. People got up this morning to watch it on
television. I want names. Who?
It's someone who got up this morning.
The Color of Money.
That went to Harmon's school. One of the two colors of Christmas.
Harmon went to school?
The colors of Christmas are red and what?
Okay. Green,
and
baby.
Then,
green.
And then what should you, what floats around in the ocean when
Parker.
It's really cold? Ice. And there you go.
Well, what's the best type of lettuce? Iceberg, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we'll get to Mike Greenberg stealing my take completely in a little bit.
For those that couldn't do the...
Completely stealing everything I laid out last night.
Who's Mike Greenberg?
About the guy who stole the take on...
I never heard of him.
Yeah, no, you have to get up very early in the morning.
Yeah, I know.
You have to get up. Well, it's okay.
Hey,
it's
we work right. late to come up with the content.
Wait, you said Mike Greenberg's float in the ocean when it's cold?
No. Well, you can't
I'm
come
lost.
In, you can't come into a conversation halfway through.
I've been sitting here. I'm still lost.
Now, you've been sitting there going, how many calories have I... I'm going to type in this app and see how many calories pinto beans are compared to black beans.
What's wrong with counting your macros? I mean, come on.
But you're working right now.
Am I?
Guy's never worked a day in his life.
I don't know. Sometimes
they
I don't
say
know.
If you're having fun, I mean, you don't work a day in your life.
So... Where were we? The college football playoff.
And Clemson bellyaching.
And Dabo yes. Sweeney deciding, nobody wants us in. I saw that this weekend, and I'm going, where is that? I mean, it's sympathy content. Look, let me get some burner accounts and let people tweet some stuff. Say, look, nobody wants us in. No one, not one time has said Clemson doesn't deserve to be in. Defending national champions, 12-0 this year. They've beaten everybody. But no, they don't deserve to be in. Clemson number 3 in the poll. And now go ahead, Teicher. Now go ahead.
Now I gotta do it again.
Well, you do number 1, number 2.
I did number 4.
Number 3. Do it again.
Oh gosh.
Number 4.
Number 4. The Georgia Bulldogs.
Number
at 11
five.
And 1. Number 5 or Utah?
Number 6.
USC.
Oklahoma.
That's all I got.
Number really?
It's kind of expensive to play these numbers, man.
It is. Well, he gets paid by the button.
My grandfather used to say that it's expensive when I play the numbers every week.
Well, goes our weekly budget.
Give me some lotto numbers. Utah 5, Oklahoma 6,
number
Baylor is 7, Wisconsin
number
is 8.
Number 8.
The top 7 teams still have a chance to sneak in to the playoff. Obviously, the big attention. Look, these top 4 teams, you can't really argue. Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia. Then there's a drop-off. I still don't get the love for Utah. I don't understand how people talk about someone who hasn't played anybody. I don't understand the love that Utah gets sitting at number 5. The Pac-12 is insane this year. I say it every week. It's like your crazy uncle that lives in the attic. You don't know what he's going to be like from day to day. This is the Pac-12. But somehow, the committee loves Utah. So they sit at 5, Oklahoma at 6, Baylor at 7. Obviously, Utah, Oklahoma, and Baylor are in a chance to win their way in, hoping for a big defeat and one of these teams falling out of the top 4. And so they're hoping which team can win their way in. I'll tell you one thing. Look, Utah playing Oregon on Friday night is a benefit for Utah if they go and boat race Oregon
and they win by
30 points because people are going to watch it. But the team, I would say, if which one of these teams can win it in depending on a loss, is Oklahoma. Right, they've lost one game. They have that momentum behind them. If they win this week, they're beating another top 10 team in the Big 12 championship game in Baylor, and they're going to be that team. They will jump up ahead of Utah. All they got to do is win. They're not going to win something ugly like 17-13. No, they're going to win if it's ugly. It's going to be 54-51, and everybody's going to love that. Oklahoma is the team I'm most confident can win and get up in the top 4.
Yeah, I'm looking at Utah and that defense, right? Only 135 points allowed on the year, scoring well over 400. And as much as we talk about the Pac-12, this is their chance to a guy that came into the year with a ton of hype, still one of the guys being talked about as a top 3, top 4 draft pick in Justin Herbert. If you go and you humble him on a big stage on Friday, and you take care of business against the Ducks, then I think that's enough to at least set you up for the possibility of overtaking that number 4. I don't see them losing that game, right? I think the defense has been too strong and too consistent over the course of the year. I'd be curious to see what in the Oregon planning sessions for their offense, what kind of gadgetry they're suddenly going to come up with to solve this one. With Oklahoma, it's going to be style points, talking about the high-scoring athletic event that becomes, whether it's in the 50s or high 40s. We know we're getting points on either side. Is it enough, though, in terms of the impressing everybody as to make that leap, right? A lot of computers in the mix, but in terms of the committee that you have to win over, if you win a 6-point game in the 40s, is that enough? Does it? Because I think you got enough scoring in the other teams that are already in the mix. Right, they don't offer something different, an outlier. And for Utah, in theory, you're trying to get this other chunk of the country to watch. So are they the representative that anybody can get behind? That's the other part of the equation. Because in the end, you are producing a television show, and that's the thing I think gets lost in this process. And even along the last several weeks, when the rankings get released. What do you have? These fabricated, how are they number 5, right? Alabama and getting moved a little bit even before Tua is done, before they've lost another game. It becomes, why? What's the deal? Can they finish the job? Well, no, they didn't. So now they're done. But to anticipate that in the weekly rankings, you know, just made for good television and good theater. And that's what we have here as we line up for the final week.
Now, here's the other side of the coin, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios, is that there may be room for nobody because, look, Clemson is a 30-point favorite over Virginia. They're not going to lose this game. Ohio State is a 20-point favorite over Wisconsin. They're not going to lose this game. If Georgia beats LSU, I don't think LSU drops out of the top 4.
I don't either.
LSU has done enough to, if they lose this game, hey, we're undefeated, we lose one game, we made it to the conference championship game, they will drop to 4, but they will stay in, and then everything is going to be closed, regardless as to whatever Utah and Oklahoma and Baylor, any of those teams do. Because that's one thing that I think you have a couple of locks right now, and I think if Ohio State loses, they don't drop out of the top 4.
I think Ohio State and LSU,
they lose, they're not dropping out. They're going to 3-4 because of what they've done. And so, but those two games are going to be ones that the one you're looking at that could see an actual loss is more LSU-Georgia than either of the other ones.
Here's your fun stat from our buddy Todd Furman. Clemson favored by at least 24.5 points in 11 of their 12 games. Favored in every game by at least 15.5.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But earlier today, Ron Rivera was called in the Panthers' offices and they said, Flintstone, you're fired. Ron Rivera, now former head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction was named the... Here's David Tepper, Panthers owner, and it's Perry Fuel who is coming in, obviously. I've been caught getting fired once in 2019.
You're fired.
Couldn't win games when Cam Newton got hurt. Now, that'd be pretty good. We could do a song there.
That would be pretty good.
No, and I
lost a 14 point.
Out the door. When they fire. Okay. Here's David Tepper, Panthers owner, on why they made the move to fire Ron Rivera right now.
I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization. As much respect as I have for Ron, I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built. Our season is not over, but as far as making the playoffs, I can make the change now, I can make it later. There's competitive reasons why I want to make sure that we were out there looking at all personnel possible for the future.
So why now? Why did this happen? This is a case of what happens in the corporate world and what all of us do for a living now gets into the National Football League. Whenever somebody new comes in to take over a job, what's the first thing that happens? People get fired, or they're told their services are no longer needed because the new person in charge wants to bring their own people in.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens everywhere, whether you work at a bank, whether you work in the NFL. And David Tepper, new-ish Panthers owner, Ron Rivera is not his guy. Ron Rivera has been there for a long time. Universally praised, one of the nicest guys in the National Football League. 2-time coach of the year. Can I blame them for firing Ron Rivera? No, because the Panthers haven't been trending in the right direction, despite the fact they've had some breakthrough performances the past couple of years. But this is why it's done now, because David Tepper wants to go through the process and not have to wait till the end of the year to hire a coach. Doesn't want to be with the other 7 or 8 teams who are going to fire their guys and look for a new head coach. Although the Jets won't, because they're going to keep Adam Gase. So this is why it's done right now, and why Ron Rivera is out. And now Perry Fuel comes in, he takes over, and Norv Turner is kicked upstairs. His son becomes the new offensive coordinator. There's going to be a really awkward moment tomorrow, because Ron Rivera is going to have a press conference at the stadium. He's already been fired. It's done.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
He's going to have a press conference at the stadium.
The fact that he still speaks to his character and what they think of him, that he's still going to just show up and go through this, because many other folks would be going double bird and saying, you know what, I'm on vacation.
That's more awkward. That's more awkward than Adam Gase regular Jets press conference. That's tacos, what he's going to have tomorrow. Look at all the tacos everywhere.
But you walk in like a boss, like, all right.
Do you think it's going to be a bunch of people standing there, and Ron Rivera is going to stand with a cardboard box with his stuff in it, like his Coach of the Year awards, and there's going to be a security guard on either side, you know, walking him out, but I'll stop for a minute to talk to the media?
Would be a decent look. I think it would make for more news. This is awkward
there.
Enough.
We got like a chemical bank box.
He's got to come out dressed like Cam Newton.
Oh, that would be the best.
That's got to be done.
Awesome. Got the cigarillo and that would be fedora the best. And ascot be, and all 9 yards.
Oh, and that better not be on TV tomorrow morning.
No, I can't wait for that. I can't wait. I mean, you have a press conference tomorrow.
Do we get to see that broken into live on a bunch of networks?
Someone's going to have. Sure. Sure. Well, you know, because you look, do you really need to see more impeachment hearings, or don't you want to see Ron Rivera with a cardboard box? I mean, I want to see Ron Rivera with a cardboard box.
No question.
I want to see that. But here's a point that everybody that I've seen today so far, many pundits, many, many experts saying, this is now Cam Newton's exit out the door in Carolina. Because here's Ron Rivera, his longtime coach, who was out. Somebody new is going to come in. And hopefully the Panthers go and hire a young offensive-minded coach to take advantage of the young weapons that they have. They need to make sure these guys all continue to play well. But as far as quarterback goes now, I think it's more likely that Cam Newton comes back because, play this out, you want to get your new quarterback of the future. Okay, where are you getting him? Where are you getting him? You're going to finish middle of the pack.
No, that's right? it. You've been too good.
You're not going to draft your next quarterback of the future late in the first round. All the good ones are going to be gone. What are you going to do? Could you take Jake Fromm late in the first round, early in the second round at some point, and think maybe he's going to be our guy? Yeah, you could do that. But what are you going to do for next year? Kyle Allen has played okay, but he's also plateaued. You have Cam Newton. I can see them. And look, I don't think Cam Newton has anything left. But I can see them talking themselves into, all right, what if we extend Cam for one more year, $20 million, and we see, and we get seduced. We are seduced by the dark side of the floor. He was seduced and murdered by the... And you get seduced by a healthy Cam Newton, who's coming back after a year away with Christian McCaffrey, who has become an MVP candidate, become that good. DJ Moore has become one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Curtis Samuel is pretty good. You have weapons that, hey, let's make a couple of moves. Let's make sure the offensive line is still all set. Let's see what 1 year of Cam Newton can do. And then we can tear it down and go from there if we need to. And the new coach who comes in is going to be okay with that, because it's going to be a free year. Whoever the new coach that comes in is going to say, okay, so I got Cam for a year, and you want a quarterback like this anyway, because David Tepper has already talked about the modern NFL, and everybody's going to want a Lamar Jackson-type player now, right? Everybody's going to want that kind of quarterback. Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, guys get outside the pocket, make plays with their legs. Modern NFL is the big keyword now. So you already have that guy in Cam Newton for a year. So the new coach comes in and say, all right, so this is a year. If we do well, great. I'm going to get credit because I'm the new coach and Cam gets back. That's fine. If we don't do well, I'm going to stay on. Cam's going to be gone. Then we're going to start over with a new quarterback. And then I'm on the clock. So it's like a free year for the next head coach to come in and go, well, yeah, I'm all right. You want to go with Cam for a year. I could try to figure things out for a bit. And then we move on from there. It's really not that big a deal, because if the new coach comes in and Cam Newton stinks, he's not going to get the blame for it. It'll be Cam's done. He was great for us. And now we're moving on. So I think it's actually more likely he comes back for a year now. Like a 1 year, $20 million, and we draft a quarterback that we might like. We bring him to camp, and suddenly our quarterback room has Cam Newton, And then it's got Kyle Allen, who has played well, and maybe with a year, another year of getting through and taking reps, maybe he could be even better. And then you have the third guy, who's the young one that you think is your quarterback of the future. That is what many NFL analysts and front office personnel would call a perfect quarterback room. You have your starter, you have your backup who can really do it, and you have your potential next franchise guy. That is a quarterback room that the Panthers will love to have.
Well, you still have a third guy on the roster now that you don't know what he is in Will Greer that you drafted this year. So
yeah, but you drafted him late. Anytime you get a quarterback out of the second round.
Still in the first couple of rounds.
Yeah.
Well, Dak Prescott has acquitted himself pretty nicely from a mid-round position.
I'm not going to give him $35 million yet.
He may not get $35 million anymore.
Six games.
But Cam right now is, for 2020, he's on the books for about $21 million, which puts him 14th among NFL quarterback contracts. Kyle Allen's still on a rookie deal. So do your dollar cost averaging. You're not investing a ton into the position. So it makes sense to stick around. It's always been seen that they were lockstep, that Cam and Ron were kind of, that was the way it was going to work, and when one was done, the other. But if Cam Newton can get a full bill of health, where's he going? Like, who's ponying up the money for a 3 to 5 year deal? Because that's the other component of it, of Cam Newton's prospects outside, right? Mm-hmm. Is who's ponying up a bunch of money off a guy who's now had a serious foot injury and a serious shoulder injury in back-to-back years and giving him a multi-year deal?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The aforementioned Jerry Palm joins us now on the hotline as we break down the latest college football playoff poll. JP, what's happening, my friend?
Oh, you know, just another day, another set of rankings.
I know. I was looking. I couldn't find where you had Syracuse in your top four. I was looking for that. I don't know.
How are they at lacrosse?
Oh, good. So you will have the lacrosse rankings coming up soon.
I don't know. Are they any good?
Yes.
I put them in the top four. That's
sure.
Okay. God, no. I'm a Midwestern guy. I don't barely know what lacrosse is.
Oh, that's all right. Well, you if you're a Midwestern guy, you just think of lacrosse, Wisconsin.
Basically, yeah, but they brew beer there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, so it's beer first.
Beer.
All right,
yes.
then lacrosse. Okay. So let's deal with the top four poll. We saw it come out tonight. Really not many surprises, seeing Ohio State and LSU 1-2, followed by Clemson and then Georgia. How many spots are really up for grabs this week, depending on wins and losses? Because I don't see Ohio State and LSU losing and falling outside the top four, do you?
No. So two, because Ohio State and LSU are in, and then there's two spots up for grabs. The top four teams in this week's rankings are the only teams that are in the playoff if they win. Up for Ohio State and LSU, they don't even have to win.
Jerry, what'd you make of Dabo Swinney's belly aching about people wanting them out this week?
About wanting him out of...
Well, wanting Clemson out, not liking Clemson and everything else that, you know, they wish we'd go away. It was, I don't know if he wanted to provide his own bulletin board material or what, but I don't remember that being a national story.
I think, first of all, that's news to me, but I don't really pay attention to coaches whining. He's probably just trying to keep his team interested. I mean, it's hard when you're four touchdown favorites every time you take the field because your league stinks and your non-conference schedule's no good. And you know, you just, I mean, it's just bad luck, really. I mean, you can't do anything about the league. It's a down year. They're not normally obviously this bad, but besides Clemson, of course. And, you know, A&M could have been better. Wasn't, but that they're not terrible. But that's probably the best team they've played, despite the fact that Virginia's going to be in the rankings this week. A&M is probably the best team they've played. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to keep things interesting. So, you know, he goes out and he says stuff and maybe lights a fire under his team a little bit. But he's basically making stuff up. Everybody knows Clemson's a threat to win the whole thing.
You know, the great thing is, Jerry, you just had me fantasizing. What if in our line of work doing radio for a living, we didn't have to pay attention to when coaches whine about things? That would cut our content.
We don't
down
have jobs.
We wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Just, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm old school enough that I have no use for whining. I didn't have any use from it for my kids. I don't have any use from it for me when I start whining about stuff. I have very low tolerance for it.
All right. Well, let's say one of the teams that is playing this weekend of the two spots loses, whether it's Georgia, it doesn't matter. Which of the teams sitting at 5, 6, and 7, you have Utah, you have Baylor, you have Oklahoma, which of those teams is the most likely to be able to win a game and get one of those spots?
Well, Oklahoma or Baylor, one of them's going to win because they're playing each other. Utah is, let's say, about a 6-point favorite I saw, maybe 6.5 over Oregon. I actually like Oregon in that game, but obviously Utah's favored for a reason. They're a very good team and having a good year. I think Oklahoma has the better resume, but this committee has liked Utah all along. That's a style over substance judgment, which basically before this week had been pretty consistent by this committee. This week they changed up a little bit, but it's if Utah can win and put up a number, they're the top one loss team. If Utah wins a close game and Oklahoma can put up something of a number on Baylor, it really should be Oklahoma. But they'll have two wins over Baylor, a top 10 team. Oregon, their best win and only win over a team in the rankings can be Oregon. Or Oklahoma State in the rankings, so that's another win over a ranked team for Oklahoma and Baylor, either one. But, the committee likes the big numbers Utah's putting up on tomato cans, and that's, sometimes what matters.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios on the hotline with us. The self-proclaimed resident sports geek at CBS Sports, college football playoff expert, it's Jerry Palm. JP Palm, CBS on Twitter is where you find him. Alabama tumbled down to 12. Why? Why such a precipitous fall?
Because that's actually substance over style for a change. Because, it's funny. We've had, I don't know how many weeks of these rankings now, 5, 6. And the number 5 team in the rankings has yet to have a win over another team in the rankings. That was true for Alabama all of those weeks, still true for Alabama. Now true of Utah, now that they're number 5. They got beat by the two teams they played that are ranked. They got beat. And they gave up 94 points doing so.
This is true.
And they won their other 10 games by 128. Or they gave up 128, I should say, in their other 10 games. They have the third largest margin of victory behind Ohio State and Clemson. So the committee had liked that, but I guess this week they didn't. This week they put them down where their resume says they should be, which is at least where Auburn is. And I would have probably kept them ahead, but behind is fine too.
Hey, Jerry, lastly, what are you hearing about USC and Clay Helton? They're enjoying a spot despite 4 losses at number 22, but with all the talent, Helton's not been able to get through. What are you hearing there?
Well, the last thing I heard was that the new president and the new AD were more inclined to keep him. I personally think, an 8-4 season with the quarterback injury problems that they were having to patch this thing together and have the kind of year they did, I think it's good enough to save his job. But you never know what's going to happen when you have new people above you and boosters that want you out. So I guess if they haven't gotten rid of him yet, usually, the coaching changes happen now if they're going to fire somebody because they're not winning enough. So I think he's probably going to stay.
You can follow him on Twitter at JPPalmCBS. That's at JPPalmCBS. Jerry, as always, my friend, great stuff. We'll look forward to talking to you very soon.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Jerry. Right,
always love talking to Jerry.
Absolutely.
I just imagine if we didn't have to pay attention to coaches whining. Can you imagine? I mean, our shows would be, what would we have?
Well, between them and Jerry Jones, he gave us more gold.
Oh, I know.
There's just so much stuff.
Remember?
Box score radio is, we break it down live when games are in progress as we do on Monday and Thursday Night Football. But coaches whining is got to be it really helped this industry bloom.
Yeah, it would be like radio in the 1990s. When the first 15 minutes of a show would be, here's all the highlights, I can't believe that game happened, then it would be the schedule of the games that night, and then I'd give out the phone number, and then spend the rest of the hour talking to people calling in.
Let me yell about something, see if I can touch a nerve. Yeah. Now, here's the phone number.
Where they could say, here's what's coming up. We got somebody calling in about the Alabama defense, the Lakers front court, the New York Rangers, and lacrosse.
Your team stinks. Tell me I'm wrong.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's tee it up with this. We had Jerry Palm on the show earlier tonight, CBS Sports College Football Insider, playoff pool expert, playoff rankings expert, and we asked him after we talked about the likelihood of teams winning and moving up in the playoff this week and championship weekend, we asked Jerry Palm, what are you hearing out of USC when it comes to Clay Helton? Is he going to stay or go as USC head coach? And this is what Jerry Palm told us.
You know, the last thing I heard was that the new president and the new AD were more inclined to keep him. I personally think, you know, an 8-4 season with the quarterback injury problems that they were having to patch this thing together and have the kind of year they did, I think it's good enough to save his job. But you never know what's going to happen when you have new people above you and boosters that want you out. So if they haven't gotten rid of him yet, usually, I mean, the coaching changes happen now if they're going to fire somebody because they're not winning enough. So I think he's probably going to stay.
All right, so that was Jerry Palm earlier in the show. Then we get multiple tweets from some people that say Clay Helton has been retained as USC head coach. So, okay, we start looking through that. Then we get this from Adam Gorney, who is a national recruiting analyst for Rivals and Yahoo Sports. There are two reports out tonight regarding USC. One is that USC is giving Helton until Thursday to find a new job, like UNLV. The other is that he's coming back. No one knows anything.
Cops got him or they don't. He's alive or he's dead. Yes, we're quoting Quentin Tarantino and Reservoir Dogs.
But this has just come out from College Football Insider Bruce Feldman, Fox Sports, FS1. Not many better insiders at what they do than Bruce Feldman, who says, sources inside USC are optimistic that head coach Clay Helton will get retained, I'm told.
Ugh, I want to puke.
So if they're optimistic he'll get retained. I mean, Clay Helton wants to stay. It's not like he's got to figure something out.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to stay. This sounds shocking, but it doesn't. And here's why. And I'm going to loop this into the whole Ron Rivera situation. Is that Ron Rivera was fired earlier today by the Carolina Panthers. Something we're going to get into in a bigger way in a few minutes. David Tepper took over the Panthers in 2018. He went through the 2018 season, he went through most of this year, and finally realized Ron Rivera's not our guy, we're moving on. This is what happens in life, not just in football, but you could work at a bank, you can work at a Quiznos, doesn't matter. When someone new comes in, what usually happens if they're a good boss, they come in, they sit around and they watch for a while, maybe a year or so, and then they go, all right, now I'm going to bring my people in because this is what I want to do. And that's exactly what happened. David Tepper went through the 2018, hey, I'm getting used to everything, being the owner. Now, okay, let's see 2019. I'm not seeing what I wanted to see out of Ron Rivera, so I'm moving on. I'm moving on now because I want to be able to go start the search for a new head coach and not have to hit the ground running the day after the regular season, along with the other five or six teams who are going to
be
looking at head coaches.
Exactly.
So he's done it right, in which I waited 2 years. I'm not, and it's hard for me to say Ron Rivera should stay because despite the fact the Panthers have a ton of offensive talent, they're not getting better. So I get that part of it.
And they gave away a game this last week, right?
Yeah.
That's the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back.
But now let's take it to USC. Here you have new leadership, including a new AD, new president at the school. They could easily come in and say, Clay Helton is out, and we're getting our new head coach. But they're not. If he is staying, if they want to keep him, this would make sense that people get into their new jobs, they wait a year, and if Clay Helton has turned things around again, they can keep him, or then, after they have gotten used to things, they can conduct their own coaching search, and they can say, all right, after this year, we can see where we want to go with Clay Helton. This is a general strategy that works, if you put USC in the mix, suddenly it becomes a little bit more difficult because anybody would want this job. I'm wondering if Urban Meyer, they approached him very clandestinely and he said no. You know, if Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush sitting on either side of him during every time they're on Fox is not enough, enough to convince him to come.
Just do it!
But this would actually make sense, and I would get it, that we want to be on the job for a year, then conduct our own search, get the lay of the land before we come in and just start firing people. Because are we going to get the right guy, or they convinced that Urban Meyer is the right guy? Maybe it's going to be somebody else. Maybe it's someone else who shakes free after next year. Maybe it's James Franklin who they decide, you know what? Hey, you've been doing great work there. Why don't you come 3,000 miles west and do it with us here?
Well, you saw what the job he's done in a cleanup, an environment type of situation at Penn State, right? Mm-hmm. He comes in on the heels of a lot of scandal and a lot of problems at the university. And for those unaware of everything going on with USC on a national level, I mean, there's just a laundry list of things that have been uncovered at the university that the new president has to clean up, right? So when you get it down into the football level of what are we as an organization, 5-7 last year, 8-4 this year, coming off of back-to-back double-digit win seasons, the winds have changed. I mean, people like Clay Helton's approach. That was one of the first things the new president said. Likes the way he handles the program, likes the way he leads, etc. Because a lot of times people get caught up into what's the buyout number? Like, it's a private institution. Who cares? Right? It's not that they're throwing $20 million of taxpayer money or somebody else's money out of some account that has to go at it. No, this is where you go to a booster. It's like, you really hate Clay Helton, huh? Here's what the nut is. And someone,
what's in your wallet?
Right. Somebody goes and writes a giant novelty size check that night. That's it. It goes away. It's not a big deal. But in this case, perhaps, as you say, Urban Meyer or whatever number of coaches from college ranks or pros decided to say no, or they're holding off pending further information. And so now they're in no man's land. And the fact that it keeps dragging on and dragging out as it has certainly doesn't help restore the reputation or the glory of USC.
And I don't want you to think that I think Clay Helton's a great coach. He has the job because of Sam Darnold, and if he holds on to the job now, it's because of Keaton Slovis.
The
right?
hope and wishing of what Slovis becomes, absolutely.
But let's realize that he picked the wrong quarterback when he had a choice between Sam Darnold and Max Brown. I'm going to pick Max Brown. By the time I went to Sam Darnold, it was too late to salvage the season, a year in which USC won 10 games and was one win away from making the college football playoff. So he picked the wrong quarterback after his quarterback derby that year. Okay, fine. Now what do you look at? He picked the wrong quarterback again.
Did the same thing this
Keaton
year.
Keaton Slovis was the third choice at quarterback. The third choice
after
at quarterback.
After they ran the fourth guy out of town.
All right, and then the fourth one, yeah, he decided to leave. Jack Sears decided, oh, I'm getting the transfer portal.
You're not giving me any run. I'm out.
Keaton Slovis was the third choice, maybe the fourth choice. He comes in and look how good he is. And I've said it many times before. You can get decisions wrong as a head coach because sometimes you don't know until guys get on the field. And I get that at most positions. I get it at cornerback. I get it at running back. I get it at linebacker. But you got to be right about the quarterback. All right, you can't miss on the quarterback. And if you miss once, you can't miss again. He has missed twice and just gotten lucky enough that these guys saw the field. And now, okay, well, here's USC. Despite the fact they have four losses, they're creeping around the periphery of the top 25. They're a ranked team, which for USC this year, hey, that's a pretty cool thing. We're a ranked team despite the fact we have four losses. Their offense is explosive. But make no mistake about it, he has missed on the right quarterback now twice and just gotten lucky that he's in there. So it's not that he's a great head coach. This is where he's going to be the beneficiary of, hey, we're going to stay around, we're going to get used to our jobs for a year, and then we'll make a decision on you. He also is the beneficiary of the fact that he has not brought drama to a school that does not want any drama.
No, right.
You have all of the controversy with getting in and Felicity Huffman and Aunt Becky and everything going on. Yeah, the last thing USC wants.
That's not even the most.
No,
the press one.
Right, that's the press, but that's the one that most everybody knows about.
Yeah.
I mean, you had so many bad things, but here's a college football coach that's not causing bad headlines. Let's take care of everything else, and then we can do this.
Yeah, he said everything properly.
He
right?
brings
he
no drama.
Right, he has handled this brilliantly because speculation on his job has been there since week one of the season. Right, you can go back to last year.
And rightfully so.
As they had five wins and questioning. It's like, look at all the talent you have here, all that was stockpiled for you, and as you've continued to underachieve. And USC being one of the crown jewels historically, that you know it's managed by a lot of wealthy alums, right? That's it. When you're talking about outside voices coming in, perhaps the new regime, the new president, isn't listening to it, or is at least keeping it at arm's length. Because the money, if they're winning, the money's still going to flow.
Yeah, but
it might just be different benefactors that step up and take the prime position and now have ears. But you pay for influence, right?
Right. Like,
make no mistake about it in college sports. So somewhere along the run of boosters, there's got to be a couple of folks with high influence that are also on Clay Helton's side for the fact that he doesn't cause drama, for the fact
that runs a good
organization and program.
This is a scandal-ridden school.
Oh, it's everything.
And right now,
and it's all the worst that you can imagine.
And right now, the football program, you could say, what's the best thing the school has? Well, the football program's ranked in the top 25. It's like, oh my God, that's insane. But
it
that's
still
really
makes
what
money.
They have.
We got a young quarterback. We can sell this.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome again. The latest report, we got Bruce Feldman from Fox and Fox Sports 1 saying that optimistic sources inside USC that Clay Helton will stay the head coach.
Here's my favorite response thus far from our buddies over at AM570.
That was Frostberg's response right there.
Petros and money.
Oh, boy.
All right, here it is from their account. This is being grossly mishandled, even by USC standards.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. What is next for the Panthers and Cam Newton after Ron Rivera got fired today? Bit of a shocker, but first, Ralph Irvin with what's trending. All right.
Well, you know it's a mess when the clown that reported that Clay Helton had been fired is now reporting that he'll be retained.
Oh, is he really?
The guy from SI Now?
Yeah. Yeah, that clown.
Oh, what a heel turn.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, just so you know, the Max Brown thing had nothing to do with talent evaluation, but I could get into that some other time. There was a reason for that decision, and it wasn't because he thought he was the better quarterback. I'm just saying, there is a reason. Everything's gone final in the NBA tonight. The LA Clippers, 117-97 winners over the Portland Trailblazers. Montrezl Harrell, 26 points, 9 rebounds. He led the way. Paul George also had 25 in the victory. The LA Lakers, 105-96 winners over Denver. Anthony Davis, 25 points, 10 rebounds. The Lakers now with an astounding 4 wins over winning teams this year.
Oh, stop, Ralph.
The San Antonio Spurs, they came back from a 22-point deficit. They beat Houston 135-133. 3 Spurs scoring in over 20 points in the victory. Dallas has won 8 of their last 9. They take out New Orleans 118-97, while Miami's won 9 of their last 11. They were overtime winners 121-110 in Denver. Now, of course, online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. College football playoff rankings, they are out. And Ohio State sits at number 1, followed by LSU, Clemson, and Georgia, rounding out the top 4. Utah sitting right there waiting to pounce at number 5. And then you'll find Oklahoma at 6, Baylor at 7, Wisconsin, Florida, Penn State. They are 8, 9, and 10. Auburn at 11, and Alabama dropped all the way down to number 12. We'll get some talk now about the Carolina Panthers situation as they release Ron Rivera from his coaching duties as we send it back to Jason Smith and Mike Harmon.
Thank you, R.I. As we talked about a few minutes ago, and we kind of hooked it into Clay Helton a bit, Ron Rivera fired as head coach of the Panthers today. David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, making that decision. And look, Ron Rivera is generally viewed as one of the nicest guys in the National Football League. 2-time coach of the year award winner. the ultimate players coach. Players love playing for him. It's very shocking to see him out of a job. He will get a job somewhere else very soon. But it's hard
for me to
they need somebody with a better offensive acumen than Ron Rivera.
Yeah, but they just need a grown up in the room.
I think he thinks Pittsburgh started it.
No, Cleveland's going to get Urban Meyer. Cleveland's going to get him. Yeah.
I do appreciate the fact that Pittsburgh, they were selling Pittsburgh finished it shirts within about 3 hours of that game going final.
I know. Well, people want to find a way to make money. They find a way to make money.
I'm working on it, buddy.
But now that Ron Rivera's out, what does this mean for Cam Newton? Perry Farrell is now coaching the team for the rest of the season.
He should just sit there and scat the whole time. Da, 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 da.
I got Ron fired once, December 2nd. Perry Fuel will now be taking over as interim head coach. Norv Turner is kicked upstairs. His son becomes the offensive coordinator. Obviously, they're going to go looking for an offensive-minded head coach at the end of this year. Hopefully, it's someone that can be in touch with the modern National Football League, and this is already something that David Tepper has kind of alluded to. This is what they're looking for. But I know that the general consensus of many experts and insiders that I've seen talk about the situation today is that now this is going to be it. Now Cam Newton's going to be done in Carolina. I disagree. This opens the door for Cam to actually stay. Now, play it out with me. At the end of the year, okay, they want to move on, right? We've talked many times about how Cam's done, and this is it. It's a $2 million buyout. All right, that's fine. Where are you getting your next quarterback from? Because it's clear that Kyle Allen, as well as he played a little bit, you're still not sure if he's your answer. Where's your next quarterback coming from? I don't know. So, what's the best thing to do? Is the best thing to just completely start over again? Because you're not getting that quarterback in the top of the draft because you're going to be too mediocre. You're 5-7. Even if you finish 5-11, you're picking 10th, and you're not getting Tua if he goes to the draft. You're not getting Joe Burrow there. You're thinking about, okay, do I really take Jake Fromm at 10? Do I wait till the second round? Do I take Jalen Hurts at 10? What am I going to do? You're not getting your lockdown quarterback of the future. So what's going to be the attractive thing to do? Bring Cam Newton back for a year, give him $20 million, exercise 1 year, $20 million, Cam, great. And you can be seduced and noted by the dark side named Darth Vader, is that it's easy to be seduced. And I don't think Cam's got anything left, but it's easy to be seduced by, here's Cam, a year away from the game, he's coming back completely healthy, and you have Christian McCaffrey, who's an MVP caliber player. You have DJ Moore turned into a great wide receiver. You got Curtis Samuel, who's pretty good. You have pretty good weapons on that offense, and you can continue to shore up the offensive line in the draft and free agency. Let's see what Cam can do for 1 year, and then we can move on. Because this now lays into the next two things that a head coach is going to want. The next coach who comes in, no matter, regardless of whoever it is going to see this and go, okay, so Cam's coming back for 1 year. If Cam stinks, he's going to get all the blame, and I'm going to get to draft my guy. If Cam is good, then I'm going to get the credit for Cam being good, and I solidified my status here in Carolina. It's a free year for whoever the head coach of the Carolina Panthers is, because he's not going to get the blame if Cam Newton stinks, and if Cam Newton's good, you're going to get all the credit. So worst case scenario is Cam's not good, you move on from, then you get to draft your quarterback if you want to. You can also have what many teams would view as a perfect quarterback room. You have your starter in Cam Newton, you have your more than capable backup in Kyle Allen, who maybe can be a number one. And then you have your quarterback of the future who's going to take a year to get better and improve and get used to the game that you're taking in the second round or third round of the draft. Right? And maybe that's Will Greer. You don't know. But it could be another guy you're taking, whether it's Fromm in the second round. I'm just throwing names out there. And that would be a perfect quarterback room. We have our unquestioned starter who was a star. We got a more than capable backup who may be able to take over with another year of experience. And then that quarterback of the future who's going to take a year to blossom, and then we see. That's a perfect quarterback room. And I can see the Panthers being seduced into that I can see them feeling this is the way to go for next year. I think it's more likely that Cam comes back.
Yeah, Cam's a middle of the road contract at this point now that you've moved on from Ron Rivera, so normally you gut it all, but when you do the dollar cost averaging between the other quarterbacks, Allen and Greer on your roster, you've got nothing invested in the quarterback position. And if Cam's not right physically, the foot, the shoulder, everything else, you know, the old wacky doctor's game operation, the blinking red that we see on the pregame reports for him, if he's still not sound, you move on. And you will have exhausted everything. And you will have given Panther fans, I think, what they would want, too. Right? That Cam goes out because he's done, as opposed to maybe he goes and finds life somewhere else. You find out once and for all. And you can do it on a one-year deal. Because also, if you do get rid of him, who's going out and grabbing him for a multi-year deal based on the health issues? Nothing. So I think both sides win in that type of equation as you roll forward. And Allen learning from Cam for another year is probably not a bad way to go either.